Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
Let's please be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to start by saying a huge thank you to Pastor Ayo. Thank you, sir. And thank you to your wonderful wife for the opportunity afforded me to be here, fellowship with wonderful people of God, with us just learning God's word together. Amen. Isn't that awesome? It's been so great, the worship, the praise, the prayer time, and nothing like people of like precious faith. Praise the Lord. Amen. You folks are family. Amen. Well, we're looking at the subject of faith this morning. And let's just start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you because you're our Father and a good Father at that. Thank you because the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Our minds are open and our spirits receptive. We trust that by your Spirit, you'll open up your word to our spirits. We won't just be hearers of that word. We'll be doers of the same. We trust you for direction. We know you have a word for us in season. And thank you because as I speak as your oracle. And I minister according to the ability that you give. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, praise the Lord. Turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. Mark, chapter 11. Mark, chapter 11. Actually, was going to go in a different direction. But you know, it's more important to follow the Holy Ghost than it is to stay with what I prepared, right? Amen. Mark 11. We read two verses there. We'll take them as our text. Mark 11, verses 23 and 24. This is Jesus speaking. For verily, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Like to give this a title. You could title it The God Kind of Faith. The God Kind of Faith. That's what I'll be sharing with us on. Now, something led to Jesus speaking these words. If we read some verses that precede our text, the 12th verse actually says that on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And he says, seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if happily, if perhaps he might find anything thereon. It says, and when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Now, some people have said, if it wasn't yet the time for figs, why was Jesus looking for figs on that tree? Now, the thing is that the tree had leaves. And in that country, in that region, fig trees that retained their leaves, even in the season that wasn't the season for figs, had fruit. So that's why when he saw that, even though it's not the season for figs to have fruit, this particular one retained its leaves. So this is one of those that's going to have fruit. So that's why he went to it. But when he got to that tree, no fruit. So the tree had wasted its time. And Jesus, you know, he's love personified, right? This tree is not going to waste anybody else's time like it did mine. And then he saw it, a glorious opportunity for him to teach his disciples a lesson. So verse 14 says, and he answered and said unto it. Imagine a man talking to a tree. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. The Bible says, and his disciples heard it. So he spoke audibly. The words he spoke could be heard. Amen. Well, verse 20 says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, you trust him, calling to remembrance, said, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Jesus answering, verse 22, saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, the literal Greek text is actually have the faith of God. Or if you like, have the God kind of faith. Now, Jesus evidently had just demonstrated that God kind of faith. So he was not telling them, look, this is not a deity trick. What I just did, if you will operate in this same God kind of faith, you will do the same thing. It's the God kind of faith that got it done. Amen. And obviously, it's bound to be. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says again and again, about 10 or 11 times, and God said, let there be light. And then there was light. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. And each time after he said, he saw what he said, because it came to pass. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Amen. So he told his disciples, have the God kind of faith. If you'll operate in that God kind of faith, you'll do the same thing I just did. You know, there are Christians today that say, oh, that's my problem. If only I had faith. If only God could give me faith. Oh, I'm praying for faith. I'm praying for faith. I'm praying. You know, I'm praying for faith. My guy, you don't need to pray for faith. It took faith to get saved. Saved people have faith. Are you listening to me? Every believer, when you got saved, God dealt to you the measure of faith. Every believer has faith. Romans 12:3. The Bible says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you. Among you who? Well, it was writing to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Romans 1:7. So the book of Romans was written to Christians. And if it's good enough for the Christians in Rome, it's good enough for the Christians in Nigeria. Christians for all time. I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So that tells me God thinks of me highly, and I should think of myself highly. But I shouldn't think of myself more highly than I ought to. It says, but to think soberly. Soberly how? According as God has dealt to every man. Of course, not every man in the world, every man among you, the measure of faith. So, God dealt the measure of faith to every Christian. God starts all of us on the same measure at our new birth. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's like somebody to be in this auditorium now, and for the person to tell me they have never passed through a door in their life, and you're inside this auditorium, then I want to ask you, how did you get in? If I don't know of other doors, at least I know there are doors here. And you didn't break a window, did you? Do you see that? You see, it takes faith to get saved. Saved people have faith. In actual fact, the greatest thing you can ever believe for is the new birth. If you've believed for that, you can't believe God for anything bigger. And you know what? The same faith that got you saved will get you healed. The same faith that got you saved will get you a job. The same faith that got you saved will get you a spouse. The same faith that got you saved will get you anything else you need. Amen. Amen. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, how did God give us that faith? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, you were once a sinner like I was. We all were. Then the gospel was preached to you. When you heard that message, it inspired faith in your heart. You acted upon it, confessed with your mouth Jesus as your Lord, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And the moment you did that, eternal life was imparted into your spirit, and your spirit was recreated. And then you became a child of God. Listen, you are a faith child of the faith God. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we having the same spirit of faith. We have it. We're not trying to get it. We're not praying for it. You know, there's a statement I hear people make sometimes. They say, well, the subject of faith is taught, but the spirit of faith is caught. Yeah, that's true. And they say it's caught by associating with people that have it. Yes, depending on how you mean that. Listen, the person that has it the most is God. And the moment you became associated with him as his son, as his daughter, you got it. Are you listening to me? Now, there, like you could take an eaglet, right? And get the eaglet to live among chickens. The eaglet is an eaglet. There's an eagle in that eaglet, isn't it? But it's living among chickens. So you may not know it's an eaglet and it's among chickens. Then one day, you take that same eaglet and you put it among eagles. And then he looks, he says, oh, wait a minute. That one is just like me. The wings are just like my own. Look at the way the thing just took off. If he can do it, I can do it. So you see, every believer already has the spirit of faith. He may not know he has it. And if he doesn't know he has it, he can't take advantage of it. He may know he has it, but he needs a little encouragement from people who have it like he does and who are walking in it. Are you listening? But listen, every Christian has faith. Can we say this together? I am a believer. I'm not a doubter. I have faith. I have mountain-moving faith. I have the God kind of faith. Amen. You know, sometimes we think, ah, if only my faith. Hey, if only it was like pastor's own. Hey, if only my faith. Listen, there's nothing bigger than the new birth. You've already believed God for the biggest miracle that there is. That same faith that got you saved will get you anything else. All you need to do is to feed it and use it. Are you listening? So Jesus told them, have the God kind of faith. And like I just got through saying, if you're born again, you already have it. Now, how does this God kind of faith work? He went on to explain that in the next verse, Mark 11:23. Actually, he defined the God kind of faith there. Now, what does Mark 11:23 say? It says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, Jesus used the mountain. Why did he use a mountain? That probably was Mount Olivet. Why did he use a mountain? Because a mountain is the biggest object, you know, to us, right? Immovable. It's been there forever. And an improbability will keep being there forever. An obstacle stops you from seeing the other side, from getting through to the other side. Amen. You see, a mountain there represents something impossible. So Jesus is saying, no matter what it is, even if it's as big as a mountain and as immovable as one, if you will say to it, be removed and be cast into the sea, and you won't doubt in your heart, but you believe that those things that you say will come to pass, you will have what you say. Now, notice, he said, whosoever shall say, right? And then he ends it with saying, he shall have whatsoever he saith. It will work for whosoever. And it will work on whatsoever. So whosoever can have whatsoever. Whosoever can have whatsoever. Provided he will say with his mouth and believe that what he says will come to pass. You know, there are certain things that are laws, right? Some things are laws, like gravity, you know. In physics, they taught us about Newton's laws of motion, if you ever did physics, you know, for science students among us, a body continues in a state of rest or uniform motion in a straight line, unless impressed forces act on it. They call it the law of inertia. So some things are laws, they are fixed. If I were to jump up, what happened? I came down. Why? Because of a law called gravity. See, there are natural laws. Just like there are natural laws, there are spiritual laws. And they are dependable. If we came into this auditorium this morning, and we switched on the lights, and all the lights just didn't come on, you know, we're not going to say, well, Electricity works in mysterious ways, it's wonders to perform. You can never tell. You know, all these things. You know, it just does as it pleases. You know? Why? Because it's a law. If it doesn't come on, maybe there's a power outage, or maybe there's a short circuit somewhere, or maybe something is the matter. And then we go to fix it. Listen, if natural laws are that dependable, spiritual laws are just as dependable, and in fact, they are more dependable. One of such spiritual laws is this law of faith. Romans 3:27 says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. So, it tells us that we don't boast based on our works. It's not our works that got us saved. It was faith. And he calls faith a law. So, faith works as a law. It works as a principle, a spiritual law, a scriptural principle. And you notice it will work for whosoever. Now, this is Nigeria, right? You know, there are some Christians saying, this coronavirus, who knows, maybe they will get it, this thing. And you know, there are some unbelievers, they're not born again, but they're saying, corona, I don't care. If it's everywhere, I won't get it. Isn't it? And you notice they don't get it. And then some Christians, and he has been serving God, though. Why did God let this happen to him? Well, what is he saying? You know, you meet some unbelievers, they'll tell you, look, they say there is no job. I don't care whether there is job or there is no job. Now, me and them will spend this money for this country. Is that not the way some unbelievers talk? And then some other believers are busy saying, things are tight, oh. Things are very tight, oh. But Jesus said, whosoever shall have whatsoever. He didn't say whichever believer. He said whosoever. It will work for whosoever. It will work for whosoever. It will work for whosoever. And it will work on whatsoever. Jesus said something that those in the kingdom of darkness are wiser in their generation than those in the kingdom of light. Sometimes some of these sinner people, they take some of our spiritual laws and they use them to their advantage. And it works for them. Yorubas will say, Oru omeni owo. Right? He doesn't respect anybody that will work it to work for him. If you like, make a machete. You are the one that made the machete. Cut yourself with it and see whether it won't cut. It will cut. But you say, but it's a machete that you use it against yourself. Are you listening? God put these things for us. Let's use them to our advantage. It's a law. Now, paraphrasing Mark 11:23. Simply put, Jesus is saying, if you will believe a thing in your heart, and you will say with your mouth what you believe in your heart, you will have what you say. That's the God kind of faith. The kind of faith whereby a person believes a thing in his heart. He says with his mouth what he believes in his heart. And when that happens, Jesus said, he shall have whatsoever he saith. How did you get saved? By the same principle. Romans 10:9-10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's how you got born again. You believed in your heart. Then you confessed with your mouth. And as a result of that, you became a child of God. Guess what? That's how everything in the faith of Jesus works. By the same principle. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we having the same spirit of faith that God has, same spirit of faith that David walked in, same spirit of faith that Paul lived in, we have it also. It says, according as it is written, I believed, quoting Psalm 116 verse 10, therefore have I spoken. It says, we also believe and therefore speak. Now let me tell you something about faith. Faith is not a spare tire, are you listening to me, that we use when we have a flat. Faith is not a panic button, you know, when there's trouble. Trouble, don't, yawa don't gas. Faith is not a panic button. Faith is not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's not. You know what it is? It's a lifestyle. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith.
Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Hebrews 10:38, Galatians 3:11. The just shall live by faith. So it is to be our lifestyle. Anything we see in God's word, once we have God's word for it, we can believe for it. Are you listening? Once we have God's word for it, we can believe for it. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So this principle of believing in the heart and saying with the mouth, it works in every area. Once you have God's word for something, you can believe for that thing. Now, there are people who, you know, who are off the deep end, who go off spouting stuff. So you can have what you say. And then they just see a woman. Say, I claim her as my wife. No, that's not how it works. Free will prevails. Are you listening to me? God, you can't claim a particular person because they have their own will. But you can claim a godly spouse. You can claim a husband. You can speak God's word. I call myself happily married. I call myself happily married. I call myself happily married. And what's going to happen? What you say will come to pass. But you can't claim a particular person because God didn't promise you a particular person. Man is a free moral agent. Are you listening? Anything we have God's word for, we can believe for. Now, you see, the dispensation we are living in now is the new covenant. Are you listening? We're not in the time of the law. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We're in the dispensation of grace now. See, when we talk about faith for now, this dispensation is a dispensation of the new covenant. It's a dispensation of grace. Are you listening? Now, you see, the whole Bible was actually written for me. And I should study the whole thing. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So notice it says, is to live by every word, every word, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So all of God's word is what I'm to live by. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The Bible says all scripture, all of it, is given by the inspiration of God. And all scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, who first was a child of God, should be perfect. You know, some King James versions say thoroughly, some say truly, furnished unto every good work. So God wants us to feed on the entire counsel of his word. However, listen to me. I'm not a Jew under the law. I'm a believer in Christ now. The whole Bible was written for me, you know, but the epistles are the letters written to me. Are you listening to me? That's where the bulk of my diet as a Christian should come from. You know what I've seen? You are what you eat. You are what you eat. You are what you eat. I can tell the kind of diet you are on. Just looking at you, just hearing you. Amen. Because we're what we eat. You're what you eat. Do you know that reading the Gospels, what we call the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you won't know why Jesus died. You won't. Until we go into the epistles. Now, don't misunderstand me. Like I just said, we're to feed on the entire counsel of God's word, Genesis to Revelation. I endeavor to read my Bible through at least once every year. Done that for several years. And I'm portions of it many more times than that. Are you listening? But you see, I particularly pay more attention to the new covenant than I do the old covenant. It's just like now, you know, Cameroon is a neighboring country. Let's say you know the constitution of Cameroon like the back of your hand. You know everything about Cameroon. When they got independence, what has happened to them? What is happening to them? You know everything, business in Cameroon, life in Cameroon, everything about Cameroon. And you have no idea about Nigeria. And you're not a Cameroonian. You're a Nigerian. And you're not planning to relocate to Cameroon. And you're not planning to naturalize and become a Cameroonian. But you don't have any idea of Nigeria's constitution. Will we call you a genius? We may want to call you another word. And that word starts with an S and ends with a D. You know which word it is. Well, you are the one that said it, not me. Amen. Why? Because you're not a Cameroonian. You're a Nigerian, based in Nigeria. Listen, don't be so good in knowing the Jews' covenant. And you have no idea of your own. Yes, there are some things in the old covenant that apply to us. God didn't change. It was covenants that changed. It was the terms by which God related with mankind that changed. And the truth is that it was the old covenant that was the foundation on which the new came, through which the new came, no doubt. The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. But look, that's Pastor there with his wonderful wife. His shadow is cast there. Her shadow is cast there, right? Let's say Pastor goes and tries to hug his wife's shadow. And he's trying to give his wife's shadow a peck. And his wife is seated there. What will you do? You want to send for his mother? Isn't it? We ought to send for some people's mother. Because the real deal has come. They are still hugging the shadow. The Old Testament is types and shadows. The reality has now come. Thank God. There are some things you can see about her shadow. But you see, if you really want to know her, she's there. Why are you trying to examine the shadow? Ah, look at the shadow. Hey, let me, how is this person like? Oh, yeah, their shadow is like this. They are here. Are you listening? The new covenant is here. So if we're going to live in the now, let's understand our covenant. Let's understand our covenant. You see, God has equipped us to live a victorious life in the now. You see, there is a Nigeria, and it's a reality. This is where we live. It's our world. There are challenges you face. There are economic issues you're confronted with. There are health issues you're confronted with. There are relational issues you're confronted with. If we're going to live in victory, which we should and which we can, it's going to be by applying the word of God. Are you listening? It's going to be by applying the word of God. Where are some major areas where people have challenges? One of them is health. One of them is health. If you can, number one, take sickness out of your life. In all probability, you will live long. You know, the other thing is armed robbers, you know. But at least if you can take sickness out, that's the number one killer of people. That's the number one reason people don't live long, is sickness. The other one may be armed robber, maybe a car accident, maybe plane crash. You know, what does God's word have to say about these things? Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs. That word griefs literally means sicknesses or diseases. And carried our sorrows. That word sorrows literally in the Hebrew means pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment that brought us shalom, peace, was upon him. And he says, with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, shall live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now I'll tell you my story. I used to be sick. I was so sick that sick people called me sick. And believe me, that was pretty sick. My dad worked in a hospital, UCH. My mom worked in the same hospital. I was in that hospital so much, you might have thought I worked there. But I wasn't working there. I just was visiting there because I had many doctors. My case note, the thing was big. Because if it's not cardiac doctor today, then is the other one tomorrow. All kinds of things. All kinds of things. Had bronchial asthma. I had some problems with my heart. I was born with some form of paralysis. Then I had some issue with one of my eyes at birth. Then I had, you know, all kinds, as in all kinds. The list continues. I also used to have malaria. You know, you say it's because you are AA. Listen, whether you are AA or you're not AA, you don't have to be having malaria. You're a believer. You know? Yeah. I had malaria like once every 2 months. My mom told me that as a little boy, I used to chew chloroquine. I have a sweet tooth. My tooth is as sweet as anybody else's. I like sweet thing. Are you listening? It's not because that thing was sweet that I was chewing it. It was because, you know, malaria used to flog me big time. You know, some people, they start itching. Me, chloroquine used to make me dizzy. I hear there are other drugs now. Amala, you know, whether they want to eat amala, you know, and all kinds. My own was Indiqueen, Camo Queen, Chloroquine, Neva Queen, Queen Queen. It was Queen, you know. Oh my. And then I have to take Puritan. And then sometimes Fenugreek, so you don't vomit it. You know, I had that stuff. I was just sick and sick and sick and sick and sick. But then you see, I began to learn some of these truths about the fact that this God kind of faith works. So I said, okay.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,